Welcome back to Sunday Morning Magazine. I'm Martha Steele, and I have three people in the house from Upward Transitions. I have Micah James, the Director of Development and Public Relations, Stephen Curry, the Board President, and Scott Love, Case Manager. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm swell. Thanks for asking. Upward Transitions, I think I've done an interview with someone from your organization in the past, but let's begin with an explanation about what Upward Transitions is, what you do, and maybe what got each of you interested in becoming involved in the organization.
Scott, you see the day-to-day. Where you want to start?
Well, I've been with the agency for a number of years now. My piece of it is that I primarily work in homelessness prevention.
Okay.
And so I'm one of those people that's wired in such a way that I need to be making a contribution. And Upward Transitions is that kind of place. What they've been doing for now nearly 100 years really makes an impact in this community. And my piece of that is on Monday mornings, I start picking up the phone and talking to people who are at risk of being evicted. Have a 5-day notice to quit or an eviction notice scheduled for court, or they have had their utilities cut off, or they have received a shutoff notice that they're at risk of having that happen. And so I work on a program at our agency that is prevention. It's short-term targeted assistance to keep people housed and keep their utilities on. And we focus on households where there's someone under the age of 18 or 55 or older, mm-hmm. Oklahoma County.
Okay.
And 1 year later, 85% of those individuals that are helped are still housed.
Which is wonderful because the homelessness problem is smaller because you're getting ahead of it.
That's exactly right. And we've got a big challenge here in Oklahoma City. We have the 20th worst rate for evictions among large cities in the country, and we want to do better at that. And so if we can help prevent an eviction, we're also making a real contribution because it keeps people from going on the other side into homelessness, and that's when the wheels really fall off.
Right.
For an individual, for children, for a family unit. And we're there as an agency for that as well. We work with the homeless and we've done that work for a long time, but it takes a lot more to recover at that point.
Well, definitely.
So if we can slow it down, you know, we feel like we're the experts in our community in preventing that eviction, preventing that homelessness. We're very committed to it.
Do you have a personal reason for getting involved?
For me, it is just this grounded belief, and a lot of it is the way I grew up, with an understanding that everybody has value, every person. And everybody also has a story, and we all have stuff in our lives. And sometimes there are things that maybe we made some bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are things that happen that were completely outside of our control, but everybody has that.
True.
Everybody has that.
And so, I like what you said, everyone has value.
That's right. And so none of that defines a person's value. Their worst choice or their worst experience, people are worth more than that. And unfortunately, too quickly, we throw people away.
Nobody should be judged by their worst day.
You deserve better than that.
True.
And everybody deserves better than that.
Because today's a new day.
That's right. And so the question is, where are we today? And with every individual or family that we work with, we meet face to face. We do case management. We work a budget. We talk about future plans. We link to community resources. And we try to address the big picture to help folks get to a better place. Just simply from where you are today.
Micah, how about you? What's your story?
Yeah, so I joined the organization in September, and I had a passion for working with this growing homeless crisis in our community because I participated in Edmond's first point in time count about 2 years ago. A point in time count is where you go out on a very cold morning and you try to assess how many people in your community actually are experiencing homelessness. And so I rode the CityLink bus for 2 hours one morning trying to ask people where they slept one night. And that's a really personal question. I don't know how you would feel about somebody walking up to you and saying, "Where'd you sleep last night?" But we were trying to assess how many people had a comfortable, warm, sustainable place to sleep. And that really opened my eyes to how big this crisis was and how some people aren't really seeing the real situation that's happening in our community. And where I was at the time, got involved in that process of being a part of that count. And when the opportunity afforded itself to join this organization, I jumped at it. And so the work that we do at Upward Transitions allows us to give people a piece of their humanity back. Another piece of the work that Scott didn't mention was we do a lot of identity work. 70% of persons experiencing homelessness don't have any form of identification. State IDs, birth certificates, social security cards. And you and I both know that you have to have those valuable pieces of identity to do just about anything. And so we do that important work of giving them a little piece of their identity back. And our case managers are miracle workers by putting pieces of the puzzle together to give them that back. We have clients that come in and say, "I'm a person now," which is unfortunate that they think that, because I have an ID, because I have a birth certificate, because I have a social security card. But they are experiencing parts of life that they weren't experiencing before because they have those pieces of identification. So,
and in the past year, we provided 1,700 of those documents for homeless individuals.
Wow. That's an eye-opener. So, Stephen.
Yes.
Let's talk about your story with the organization.
Sure. So I've been involved with the organization for about 4 years now. This is my second year as the board president. And so from my perspective, as a board and a board member, we're removed at least a layer from seeing the day-to-day, the client interaction that Scott and Micah get to see. But it's still very eye-opening to us. Get to hear some of the stories about some of the families we're able to help and really change their lives. When I started with the organization, much to Micah's point earlier, is I didn't know the need that was out there. So this has been an incredibly eye-opening experience for me to learn about and then share with people that I work with, family, friends, about the great need that's out there.
It's hard to explain, but I think every person that sees someone who is homeless will tell themselves a story behind why that person is there. And it's hard not to be influenced by that.
Yeah, we make assumptions about the situation.
Exactly.
And the motives and their choices.
And you just have no idea what that person has gone through, what they're going through, what brought them to that place where they're having to ask for help in, I would think, one of the most humiliating ways you can imagine. I love the fact that you guys are there not only helping those people, but being aware of the people that are almost at that point.
And I've got to tell you that the majority of the people I meet with say, "I never expected to be here."
A recent study came out and said, like, somewhere between 50 and 70% of Americans don't have anything saved for an emergency. Mm. And so we're talking about people that have experienced a medical crisis, a car breakdown, a kid gets sick, and all of a sudden they can't afford their rent. And then there's this
Working poor.
There's this cascade of things. And all of a sudden they're dealing with a landlord and they're dealing with medical bills and they're dealing with utility companies. And they're not only doing that, but then they're stressed. And I have to say that our caseworkers are the people that I want to talk to when I'm in crisis, because they're some of the most non-anxious present voices. And so not only do they help in crisis with that emergency relief, but they have the tools and spirit to just say, "Breathe, another day, here's some assistance, and we're going to get through this together." And so to hear Scott and Joelle and Alicia and Terry, our caseworkers, just sit with these families and say, "Yes, this is a crisis right now, but tomorrow it's going to be a little better, and the next day it's going to be a little better after that, is just a transformation in progress. So,
and when you consider that the minimum wage in this country has been $7.25 an hour since the 90s, and the expenses have gone nowhere but up.
Right.
No one can afford a single bedroom apartment.
You have to have roommates in order to survive it.
You can't work 40 hours a week and afford a single bedroom apartment, even in our affordable community that we live in.
So. And it's beyond sad at this point that people that I am friends with are just one emergency away from losing their apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing, your car breaks down, you get in a wreck, you have a medical emergency. You use that savings if you are lucky enough to put anything back.
We helped 1,000 people stay housed last year. And unfortunately, it's the tip of the iceberg. We would love to do so much more. And we are bombarded by calls and requests and legitimate needs. We do what we can, but we would love to grow in this work.
There are 18 evictions a day in Oklahoma County. And what the statistics are telling us is that if we invest $1,000 in those families that are being evicted, we would save the community 10 times that in community services. And so that's all it takes, is investing $1,000 in a family to keep them housed and stable, to save thousands of dollars for the community at large.
And in addition to the financial piece, what we know is that for families and children who experience homelessness, they have higher levels of emotional and behavioral problems, have increased risk of serious health problems. They're more likely to experience separations from their families. They experience more school mobility, repeating grades, being expelled, dropping out of school, and having lower academic performance. And so part of the story is that it's 10 times more expensive. But another part of the story is the human part of the story and what happens for those individuals. It's terribly destructive when someone goes homeless. And so, once again, if we can build this work, slow down the faucet, let's stop being number 20. Let's go in another direction.
That's a list we really don't want to be on anymore.
Yeah, we don't want that list.
No.
We're better than that.
We are. We really are. So what can we do? Tell us. What can we do to help this organization?
So I was talking with a group of elementary school students last week, and they asked a similar question. And the first thing I told them to do was look at our homeless neighbors in the eye. And so many of them, you know, when they're walking down the street or they don't know what to do, you know, a 5, 6, 7-year-old, we have to acknowledge the humanity in the people around us first. And we,
good point.
You know, if we don't acknowledge the humanity in the people that are around us, we can't then ask them what they need, because we're assuming we know what they need before we even get started.
See, now I like that even more than anything else that's been said today. We don't know what they need exactly, but we're asking them what they need.
We need to listen.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of in the middle of two phases of our work. We're doing an emphasis on our client pantry. So when Scott and his compadres that are caseworkers work with clients, they listen and they hear what the needs are. And so we have a client pantry that's full of blankets and scarves and food and those kind of things. And we don't have a box that we just hand them. We respond to what they need. And so we're doing what we call a calendar of sharing, that's kind of replenishing our client pantry. And so we're asking people to replenish that through bringing us some of our most anticipated needs. And you can see the list on our website, upwardtransitions.org. And we're also in the middle of kicking off our annual campaign. And our goal this season is to raise $40,000 to bolster our efforts to turn off that faucet. We're kind of got this two-prong approach. You can do the tangible, which is a really easy way to get kids involved. Go get those peanut butter crackers and those bottles of water. Or if you want to do the financial, that's another really cool way to get involved too.
There's something that brings out the best in people in the holiday season, I think. to look around and see the plenty that is everywhere and to feel the need to give back. And it just, I wish it was like that all year.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, since it's highlighted, I think it's a great idea to visit your website and to really, you know, see what you can do.
We do this work all year round. We're really intentional that we have resources every single week to answer those calls every Monday morning. We try to help a family with rent and utilities every single week, 52 weeks a year. And so one of the things that people can do is they can call us and ask where the needs are. And so if you're ever feeling that you want to learn more about what we do, you can always call us and see where the greatest need is and where our work currently is at that moment. If we're not in one of these seasons where we're having an emphasis, you can always reach out. We love giving tours. We love showing off our work and having those conversations about what's going on in Oklahoma County.
Our community can only grow better. That's the way I look at it. Yeah, sure, we're not the best at everything, but there's always hope for tomorrow. There's always hope for the future, and Upward Transitions really epitomizes that. Thank you, Stephen Curry, the board president. Also, Scott Love, doing the work in there as a case manager, and Micah James, director of development and public relations. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us in.